So normally, this is how I start the podcast with like an icebreaker, mm-hmm. especially in this new season, just to like get the guests settled in and everything. Mm-hmm. So what would you go for? 2 truths, 1 lie?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to start because I'm bad at the game, to be fair. So.
Sure.
Wow. You know, because of the situation earlier, now I have to think of. So earlier I wasn't recording, unfortunately. But a truth. Let's see. I'm a Ga. I'm from Accra, the capital.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have a fear of traveling. Like whether by bus or by air. There's a fear. Then what's the last one? What can the last one be? I've turned down potentially like my biggest gig before. Like in 2022, yeah, last year. It was like a 7-figure gig, but then I still turned it down. Yes. Now you look lost in thought.
Interesting. I am lost because I feel like the second and third one, you took too long to think.
So when you don't take too long to think, then it's like...
not necessarily.
True. That's a nice giveaway, though. I just know how to like look at you when you are saying your
stuff. I'm observant. Okay, so... I mean, you'd be crazy to do the third. But also, a fear of traveling... Do you know what? I'm just going to take a wild guess.
Okay.
And you have a fear of traveling.
No, I don't.
That's a lie.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I turned the deal down. Yeah.
No. You have a fear of traveling.
Yeah,
is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a lie. Okay, tell me more quickly about that.
About that? I don't know. It's just like a fear. I don't know where I got it from, but then it's like if I have to go on like a long journey... And it's not like people I trust, I really might not.
Okay, fair. Yeah. I hear that. Cool.
But that doesn't explain the air bits though. Because it's like, I've gone before, but it's like, if there was another option, I wouldn't go.
Fair.
Yeah, it's just like that. But I turned down the deal.
Fair. I hear it.
I mean, I'm a creative. You know these things come up in like the creative spaces.
Yeah.
So
gotta do.
It's not too surprising.
Yeah. It's just got to align. If it doesn't align, then... I hear it.
What are yours?
Okay, cool. So, my three things are...
I think I understand why you were surprised at the fear of traveling. Because you were traveling.
Yes, it's a complete opposite to me. So I'm like, what? Cool. So, three things. I used to play the violin.
Used to? Not anymore?
I used to play the recorder. And I used to play the flute.
I mean, you should have told me you were doing an instrument version. Flutes, violin, recorder. The lie is the recorder.
No. That was actually one of my favorites.
Really?
Yeah. I've never played the flute. I played violin and recorder.
Oh, I'd like to see you play the violin.
Well, not now. I love to do my nails, and you can't have long nails to do violin. So maybe one day when I'm getting a refill...
And you're like, that's actually very cool. I like that. But yeah, if you don't know who I'm talking to today, I'm talking to Bonita. She's the editor-in-chief at Amula, doing all the cool stuff you see during the festive in Accra. And I mean, throughout the year, really, they've really like cemented their places. Like, one of like the your favorite party people, if I'm being fair. And so, yeah. This is her. She's always in the back pulling strings. But today, you get to hear her voice and her story. And her journey up to where we are now. Yeah. Hi, Bonita. Welcome to the Now Podcast.
Thank you.
How's life? How's life treating you? How's Ghana treating you?
It's good. Been here for a month. Mm. I'll go back tomorrow. I've been here for a month. I can't complain. I'm really happy. Really excited for 2023. So yeah, I can't complain.
All the big stuff.
Yes. Yes.
With you, first off, what do you do? As Amula, like being the editor-in-chief. Uh-huh.
Okay, so what do I do? So, editor-in-chief. So, editorially, mm-hmm. I review everything, I approve, and also I write. And then also I work very closely with the social team. My amazing team, I essentially review, take a look at their strategies, and etc. Yeah, so everything editorial.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yes. How's it like working in a team like Amila?
How is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Is it?
It's interesting because, again, I live in the UK. I live in London. So I think I'm always learning. As much as they may think I'm amazing, I think they're really amazing. So it's really nice to work with them because I feel like I'm just learning so much. Mm. And I think for me, it's been a real self-development journey because you don't know everything. And I think as someone that lives in the diaspora, it's super important for me to like listen, hear. And that's what my journey's actually been like. Mm. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. It sounds fun, to be fair.
No, it is. It is. Yeah. It is. I've got a good team.
That's nice. And then aside Amula,
yeah,
on your profiles, you've had like some BMW in there.
Okay.
Like some Forbes women in there.
Okay.
Like some UN in there.
Okay.
Which one do you want to run us through first?
Okay, well, I am a senior strategist for BMW. Mm. So all things.
That sounds like a big thing.
Does it?
It really is a big thing too. Like BMW.
So all things strategy, marketing. Yeah, that's what I do there.
And the photo on your profile is like super cool. Like the one with the car in the kitting.
Yes.
That's like such a sick
photo. On my profile, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing, an amazing, amazing creative called Katie Erie. So I write the creative strategy and then the creatives bring it to life and she brought that to life for Halloween.
Right.
One of my favorites actually. Yeah, she's amazing.
And that's such a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how's it like working there?
Again, same thing. I think I'm just in a period of my life where I'm just developing and self-discovery. I have an amazing director, manager, and she's just helped me grow so much.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of learning, a lot of finding my feet, and just bossing it. I love it. Yeah. I really do.
No, you're killing it, to be fair. Like, you're doing so well. Like, I read through like the different articles and I'm like, that's so cool.
Stop. Thank you.
No, it really is cool. But then let's like just backtrack to like the beginning before you got to where you are at now.
Yeah.
Who's like Bonita? Like, who was little Bonita? And then run us through.
Who was I? Who am I? I was a fearless. Well, I am. But yeah, when I think of younger me, fearless, unapologetic, a people pleaser.
People pleaser.
Back then, a people pleaser. I was just hungry, constantly hungry, very childlike hunger.
Curious.
You know, where it doesn't matter about what the stats say or what's realistic.
It's possible.
Just get
it
done. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that was me then. Over time, I have grown, developed. I'm still very hungry. I'm a bit more logical now. and I'm not a people pleaser. Absolutely no way. I put myself first a lot of the time. Selfless too, but I'm just very like, I have very strong boundaries now.
Mm.
It's interesting because that does fall into work and your career and who you are. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm just now, I would say I'm developed in a state of growth. That's where I am now. Yeah.
And have you always like seen yourself in the position you're at now? Because earlier you were like talking about when you saw your CV when you were 16, and then you were laughing your head off. Because where you're at now is where you rose then.
Yeah.
So it's like, what was that? Like, run me through the idea behind a 16-year-old writing like all those like things.
Yeah. So I just honestly, when I read the CV, like I can't even comprehend it now. Like I don't even want to tell you because I just think, wow. I think I'm in awe of that Bonita. Like, yeah. I really am. It's crazy thinking about it. Like, it just feels surreal. But my toxic trait is...
Okay. We're going there.
We're going there. My toxic trait is what's next.
Oh.
So a part of me doesn't surprise me. Because when I do things, it's like, what's next?
I relate to that so much, my goodness.
Yeah.
Like, my friends hate it. They're like, can you take it in? And I'm like,
yeah, what's next?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's not a bad toxic trait to have, to be fair.
In a way, I do think it is. Do you know why I say that? Why? Even till today,
mm-hmm.
like, that whole 16-year-old thing, until I found the CV, until just now, I've never really taken that in. And that's something I should take in.
Take in, yeah.
And I haven't.
What did you write, to be fair? No, I know we spoke about it earlier, but then, yeah.
Yeah, it basically was like my CV. And it was like, you know, I'm, what did I say? I said, I'm motivated. I am driven. You know, this is what I look to do in the next couple of years. And obviously, I stated what I wrote. So, yeah, it was just really self-professing. You know, this is who I am and this is where I'm going to be. Yeah, that's literally what it said.
And you did it.
I did it. So I think I need to write one. I need to write a new one.
Yeah. Maybe like...
Not a CV, but like but a... Like, yeah.
And like a reader. Journal or something. Something yes. You can just look back on and say that, yeah, I did yeah. that. And then you take it in again.
Yeah. I mean, the next one, mm-hmm. which I'm openly going to say...
Yeah.
Because there's accountability that way.
True.
Is I'm going to be a billionaire.
I support
that. And I won't be stopping there.
I support that.
Is there a trillionaire? If there's that, I'm going to be that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. So I put it out to the universe.
Yeah. It's going to come to you.
Oh, no. I already sure. am. Fingers in my mind. Crossed. I'm a billionaire. No, fingers crossed. It's already.
It's here.
I'm on that path.
Great.
So yeah, look out for that one, guys.
Look over it. When she's a billionaire, just know that she said that here. She said that here.
Exactly. Yeah,
for sure. But then, okay, so through school and everything, mm-hmm. what was it like? What was your first job like?
My first job?
Yeah.
Interesting. My first job was when I was at uni.
Okay.
I worked at Apple. I worked in the Apple store. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I think that is actually where... that drive that I had and then working for a brand like that, I think that is actually what made me feel like I can work for any brand that I ever want, like I want.
Once,
yeah. I've started off at Apple.
How did you land that job?
I just applied. Really? I just applied.
Like, I really just applied?
I just applied. I went to the interview. I was even a little bit shy, I remember. And then it got to the acting bit and I did really well.
Oh, you had
and
to
that's how I got the job.
Job.
Yeah. You had to have a scenario of like, you know, a customer coming in and not being happy, and I was like that unhappy customer. Obviously, I played that well, and yeah, the rest of it, I was actually quite shy. I remember stuttering. I remember not being able to finish one of my sentences. Mm-hmm. But it came to that bit, and I smashed it, and I got the job. So yeah, any encouragement for anyone that feels like, you know, they're not confident enough?
Mm-hmm.
When true leaders see your potential, they see it through anything. Mm,
that's
yeah.
true though.
Yeah, yeah.
And from Apple, where was the next place?
Oh gosh. So from Apple, I went to the advisory board where I worked as an associate in account management. And then I went to AOL. And then there was an acquisition. So I went through to Microsoft and I worked in advertising. And then I went to Expedia, worked in media and insights and planning. And then from there, I traveled. I think I took like 8 months out just to travel the world. And then I worked at KPMG. And then now I'm at BMW.
That's impressive. But then, did your media like interest come from Expedia or has always been?
So when I was at AOL, I was working in media as well and advertising. I knew that I was into media, marketing, advertising when I was studying my BA. Okay. In business management, and there was a module called marketing psychology. Right. And I loved how we basically used color and all these different things to make us feel certain ways about brands. Like, for instance, blue. A lot of companies use blue because it's calming, it's trusting. And I just found it mind-blowing. I was like, oh my gosh, wait, marketing, it's deep.
Yeah.
It's not just surface level, it's super deep. And I love psychology. If I didn't study business management, I would have been a therapist. I would study psychology, occupational psychology or something like that.
That's nice. Do you run therapy for your friends?
I do feel like I am a bit of an agony aunt, but not the best.
Right.
Because as humans, we deflect our own thoughts and whatever. I'm very aware of that, which is good. But again, I'm a go-getter. Yeah. So when they're like, oh, but this, I'm like, no, just go and do it. Okay, I get real firstborn.
Real sisters.
Yeah.
like the firstborn you are.
yeah. So I can be great, but I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
And that's because another toxic trait that I have is I'm hypercritical of myself. And it isn't necessarily in a bad way, because that's most of what it comes off as. Oh my gosh, everyone's like, Benita's got so many toxic traits. What it is.
Toxic trait episode.
Yeah, no, you've got to talk about them. It's the only way you grow.
Yeah, for sure.
That is actually why. That's why I don't beat it down too much. But that is why I'm where I'm at today. I'm always like, what's next? And I'm always like, how could you have done that better? Mm-hmm. And I think, I always tell people not to be harsh on themselves, but I'm harsh on myself.
I feel like that's how it really is with life. Like, the advice you give is not the advice you take, to be fair.
Yeah. True. And I'm also firstborn.
Right. It was like, you thug it out, find a way.
Yeah. So, like, when I think of my career, when I think of who I am today, it's those elements of me that I call toxic. But actually, when I think about it, in a weird way, they've been blessings because they've enabled me to not become complacent in what I do. But as I've got older, I've understood that your journey is your journey. There's no point in rushing or stressing yourself. But what you really need to do is embrace it. Enjoy the journey. And I think a lot of the time, I've just lived the fast life. Of, okay, what's next? Let's do this. Let's go traveling. Let's this. And there's a lot of things that I abandoned, like mental health, looking after my body, resting. And now I've got older. Now I'm 30. That's so important to me. So I have the right balance.
Right. But you mentioning mental health, right?
Yes.
How did you treat your mental health, like, in your younger days? Because now it's more important, apparently.
Yeah.
So it's like, did you just didn't care then, or it wasn't, like, a big deal?
It just didn't exist. I didn't ever stop and say, Benita, how are you really doing? How do you feel today? How did you feel about that interaction? Take time to reflect. I didn't do that. I'd go home, I'd sleep, I'd wake up, and then the next day. And repeat. But now, I can actually stop and be aware and reflect. Whereas before, I didn't do that.
Right.
I didn't do that.
That's interesting. So then, when does the UN come in?
Okay, yes, that's a voluntary opportunity.
Yeah.
Where essentially, UN women, again, is all about women, girls.
To be fair, you advocate for women a lot.
Yes.
I like that. I respect it a lot.
Yes. So yeah, that is what it's around. So again, being a part of that, being able to volunteer, being able to be a part of that, it's just super important to me. I'm a very driven woman. And I just feel like regardless of gender, everyone should have an opportunity. And I'm not only a woman, I'm a black woman.
True.
So, you know, there's many layers. On top of that, some women are black. And then also they may be non-binary. There's all these different layers. So for me, it's like, do you know what? If I can use my voice, I'm going to do it. I'm always going to do it.
And how has it been, like, working that opportunity?
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's been really interesting. Again, I've been learning a lot. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, all of this is happening. You can volunteer. You can do all these different things. So for me, it's been a real learning curve. And I think for me this year, I really want to delve into doing more voluntary work, especially abroad.
Yeah.
But it's been good. Because, you know, in that sphere, like that ecosystem, they're always sharing like volunteering opportunities. So it's good. It's really, really good.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
Then I want to know, when else your writing came in? Like, when, like,
yes,
you fully decided that, okay, yeah, I could actually do writing.
Yes.
Like, aside doing it for fun, to be fair.
Yes. So remember I gave you the timeline?
Mm-hmm.
When I was at AOL,
yeah,
there was loads of different businesses. There was acquisitions and mergers every other week. A part of that business was Huffington Post. So I worked in the same company. And so, you know, if I wanted, I could just go downstairs and be like to one of the editors, I want to write something. So what was interesting was something I became passionate about was diversity and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first article. I think my article was something about, you know, D&I and the importance of it, I believe. So obviously I had the email of the HuffPost editor. Mm-hmm. And because we all work together. So I wrote the article, I pinged her an email, and she got it live.
Just like that?
Yeah. She got it live.
And what was the feedback like?
I didn't get any.
You didn't get any feedback?
As in, you know when you have like corrections and stuff? Yes. I didn't get any. And I was like, oh, is this going to go up? Because I was expecting some, you know, some changes.
Yeah, like...
No, it just went up.
Damn. It just went up. That's sick.
I mean, I can't lie to you. When I read it now, I'm like, I wrote that. So I was clearly very passionate about it and yeah. I went for it. Yeah, yeah.
I like that. No, that's yeah. actually very cool. Like, no edits and it just goes live, like on the first thing. And how did you feel, like, just getting, like, your first article, like, published on the go, just like that?
I just thought to myself, I'm a lot more powerful than I think I am.
I agree.
I thought, yeah, I could do that. I could do anything.
Yeah.
Because I studied English literature in for A-levels.
Yeah.
And sixth form. And I was just very meh about it. So I studied theology, which I loved. I'm a big philosophy and ethics girl. Yes, love it. I studied business. I love business, live and breathe it. I studied economics, love economics. And I did English lit. And I was like, ugh.
A serious business magnate, of course.
Huh?
Yeah, like a serious business person. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I am.
Business is my thing.
Period.
I'm owning it. I like that. Period. That's cool. That's cool.
So yeah,
from the English literature, that's where, like,
yeah, no, I didn't like it. So when I then later went to write the article, I sat down and I was smug. I was like, I'd love to show my English literature teacher this. But yeah, honestly, that's how it began.
And what was like your live reaction? Were you like running around like guys, friends, hi, you go buy the puppet post today?
Well, again, it was online. So I just remember like posting it on my socials and screen grabbing it and posting it. And it's so funny because my younger self, I would share everything I did. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I've got to where I am today. Yeah. But now I don't do that.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I enjoy...
Maybe it comes with the growth and the development.
I enjoy being the underdog.
Yeah.
I just don't feel the need to shout about my successes. And I think it's something that I need to discover and dig within myself. I think there's two sides to it. I did it for so many years and most probably got the wrong type of validation from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what stopped me from doing it now.
Yeah.
But I think why I don't post as much on social media is I love to just enjoy things now. Yeah. Before I was so caught up in sharing with the world, but now I don't care to share.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, it's so that's what it is. Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. That's cool. So that's where the interest for like writing heavily comes.
Yes.
Because I think my first introduction to you was as a writer. I think you've written a number of like music stuff here and there, so I'm like, okay, so I noticed you, but then I think I took notice of you proper when I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do, when I want to send the emails. Okay, Bonita's in, okay, cool, grab Bonita's email, grab Lula's email, and just like send the email. So I think that's when like I proper came into contact with you. But like through all of this, through all the different stuff you do, the different initiatives, like what has been like the most challenging? Have you ever been like down bad about a job? Like you have like those days or those weeks where you just go back to your apartment and you're like, just
countless of times. I've cried my eyes out, literally cried.
You don't look like someone who cries, bro. Like firstborns don't cry.
It's funny. It's funny because all you need to do right now is get a TikTok of maybe like a baby or something and start crying.
Yeah,
or like, you know those videos where they give someone money in the a waitress money to just bless them. But like, I'll start crying right now. If you do that right now, I'll start crying. I've had moments like that. I've had moments where I've literally cried my eyes out. And I've just been like, no, this isn't for me.
Then you went back.
Yeah. No. I left. Every job that wasn't for me, I left.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So once you get to the point where you cry about it, you're leaving.
Oh, but even before that. Before that.
So why would you cry after that?
I cry to release emotion. If I don't cry, someone's going to get told about themselves.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's better I cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that built up emotion.
It's an emotional release.
Yeah.
before I didn't understand why I would cry. But sometimes, like even before I leave Ghana, I might just cry because it's just an emotional release. It's a, I've really enjoyed myself. 2022 was amazing. The beginning of 2023 has been amazing. Let me cry. I love crying. I absolutely love it. I love it.
No, that's fun. I've not come across someone who enjoys crying. And who puts crying in like the positive light like this? Who
yeah.
Who's crying in good PR?
Oh, I love it. Crying is great. It's great.
You have it. Cry.
Yeah, cry, guys. Like, if you ever feel, sometimes you might feel like, you know, tense or something, just cry.
Actually, the men listening, cry.
Cry. If you're doing work and you're like, oh, I don't know how to do this, just cry. I remember there was a time at work, I'd had a busy week and we were finishing up the week and I was closing my laptop to leave the office. I just started crying. And my colleague was like, what's wrong? I was like, oh, I've just had a really busy week and, you know, it's been a good week. But it's... She was like, what is wrong with you?
Yes, of course.
I love to emotionally release. I love it. Yes.
Yeah, but back to the question. What has been like the most challenging?
Oh my gosh, exactly. Okay. So again, I love to go off on a tangent. So I cried. I cried my eyes out. And I think when I think of, because I can't pinpoint. It's really interesting. I can't pinpoint because at every moment in my life where I've broken down and cried about my career and about work is because I have had this determination to be successful, but as a young black woman who's outspoken, a lot of people are not going to like that.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And that is actually what has been the reason I have cried my eyes out every single time.
Mm.
It's really interesting. That's why I can't pinpoint one.
What?
It's never been about, I can't do something because I'll try it. It's never been about, you know, I don't like this place because I know how to put myself in a bubble. It's always been about people trying to dampen or dim my light.
No, you're not worth the opportunity. No, you shouldn't get this. No, I don't think you should do this. You're a woman type stuff.
Not even that, because I'm black. Simple as. I don't live here. You need to remember, I live in the UK. I live in London, right? So you might think it's because I'm a woman, because that might be the case here. But where I am, it's because I'm black. And I've had those instances. And people try to gaslight you and tell you it's not that. But the last thing I do is pull out the race card. And when I've had instances where I've broken down, I think I break down because you can't just walk into a room and pull the race card. You'll always be gaslighted. So a lot of the time, for me, it was I just want to be successful. Why is my race a problem? But I'm not a victim. So I just get up and I'm like, you know what? Take this job. And when I do that, no, we can't lose you. And no, take it. I don't want it. Like, when I say something's final, it's final. It's final. Yeah.
Does that apply everywhere else? Like, younger siblings, like all those things, right?
Everywhere. It's final.
What we need to see is this.
It's done. It's final. Do you know why it's final?
What?
When I was younger, it wasn't necessarily ever final.
Yeah.
But now that I'm in a place where I take my time, I think, and I pray, oh, it's final.
Mm.
I really take the time to listen. I don't think anything in life is coincidental. So when I pray about something and I'm not moved to do that, you know, move in the opposite direction, I just think, do you know what? This is for a reason.
Yeah.
I've got to go. There's been situations where I'm like, I need to go. I need to leave this job. And something's like, no. And I stay.
Don't go yet.
Yeah.
You want to see what job that was?
No. No.
Well, but that's cool, though.
Yeah.
And I also like that because it's like you're tapped into, like, spiritually.
Yes.
In yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you like a very religious person?
Yeah, I am. I have been from a very young age, but I don't know what it is. You know when we would laugh at our parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're just like, so everything's spiritual. But I kid you not, I was laughing at myself the other day. I think I got out of bed and I was like, oh, alrighty, I'm gonna sit. And I thought, I sound like my mama. Because I would laugh at her.
If we're saying something like that.
Right.
But then?
Like, I will sit down, I'll get up and I'm like, oh God, it's good. And I think,
yeah.
I sound like my mom. So yeah, I have. And I think what it is when you're on a journey of discovery, development, and growing, that's who you call to. And I think in my career, it's interesting because there's all these amazing things people talk about, but they go over my head. sometimes people have to remind me that I've done stuff. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, okay. So now I'm just in a constant state of thanking God for everything. But yeah, I am very spiritual. And that actually comes into my work. I won't lie. Even in the workplace, when I'm in the workplace, when I'm working like with whoever, you know, depending on what they believe in, I feel like I'm always speaking a word. You know, you can motivate people and you can speak life into people without mentioning a religion.
True.
And that's something that I truly believe is a gift that I've been given. Mm-hmm. I have this ability to motivate people and engage people.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I like that for you. Honestly, so far I've enjoyed the conversation. This has been like one of my favorite podcasts.
Stop.
This is up there. No, because it's like very insightful. And plus, I feel like talking to people older than me kind of like gives perspective to a lot of things. Unfortunately for me, I find myself in a space where I work with a lot of older folks. And I'm the one who would like listen and like, okay, teach me, show me the way type thing. So it's like, yes, it has definitely been one that I've enjoyed. I like it.
Thank you.
But let's just come back to Amila real quick, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
How do people get to work with Amila?
Huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. People are like, but they are so... I've had like a conversation with someone who came in to Ghana for like the whole Dirty December stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh yeah, I went to the party of Throwback. I want to work with them. Like, we can pull this off. And I'm like, yeah, that's Bonita. That's Maxwell. Talk to them. I think she ended up talking to Maxwell. But I'm like, for someone else who doesn't, like, I need to reach out to you guys.
As you advised, approach us. Email us. I don't buy,
email,
I promise.
Email them. I was super
Bonita
surprised when Bonita
at imula.com.
The email.
I do, like, and I do respond. Kidding. I do. If I don't respond, that means you've got bad email etiquette.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I do respond.
Yeah. No, because I was surprised. Like, I remember calling like my manager, and I'm like, Hans, she replied the email. I might do Amila sound systems. And he's like, wow, that's cool. I mean, because that was like the last place.
Do you know what? A tip. Because you know why I responded to your email? Because I remembered your face from Instagram. So, do you know what? Saying that, but regardless, I myself would have responded because it was probably a good email. When you are trying to reach out to someone, especially an editor that gets 101 emails, you've got to be memorable. So whether it's you're going to connect on social media, do that. Because I will remember.
Yeah.
So that's actually why.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
But like she said, email them, send those emails, reach out on social media. I mean, it's not too hard. It can be like the worst is what, okay, we can't do it right now, another time, right?
Do you know what? The advice I'm going to give when you reach out to us is be intentional.
Yeah.
Know what you're saying. Because if you don't know what you're saying, it's going to be hard for me to respond with a response that you require.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's, I'm really interested in Amula and I want to work with you, that's not enough. If you're not sure of how you're going to work with us, what are your talents? Is it writing? Is it you're into DJing? Tell me. Mm-hmm. Because then I can say to you, okay, you like DJing. Do you know we have a sound system, which you most probably will do. Or if it's writing, I could be like, oh, okay, we're looking for writers. Or if it's strategy, I could be like, actually, I've got an amazing social team that do strategy. You can join that team. So just be very clear about what you want to bring to Amula. And then it's easier for me to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what has been like your most fun moments working with Amila? That's like the last question just before we go.
My fun moment?
Mm-hmm. Moments. It could be more than one, to be fair.
Giving Maxwell a headache. I truly enjoy it. And I hope he watches this.
I'm going to clip this. I'll send it to him.
Please do. No, truly. So many amazing moments working with my team, developing the team, the frustrations. And I think why the frustrations are even an amazing part of it is we're all learning, you know, we're all challenging each other. But no, all in all, annoying Maxwell. And why that is because he's got this baby and, you know, we're helping him build and develop his baby. No matter how he sees it, it's something he birthed. So I think why I love annoying him is I love seeing his drive for his brand because he doesn't realize, it's the first time he's hearing it, it actually motivates me. But I love to get under his skin because then he switches and he's like, no, I want it like this, this and this. And it's funny because everything that I'm like, oh, Maxwell, I'm not too sure, he will be like, nope, I'm going to do it. And he does it and it's a success. Mm. And I love that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's an incredible working team right there. Like, yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah.
But just before you leave, drop your socials. I mean, she dropped the email if you were listening.
Yeah, so email bonita@imula.com and then Instagram, because the only thing I have, Bonita
That's the only thing you have?
Yes, I deleted all other.
I found the Twitter and it was like some tech piece, like quack. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yes. Bonita. I've deleted all social media.
What? Peace?
Peace over everything.
I respect that.
I'm mindful of what content I consume. No. And on Instagram, I can control it.
Respect that.
Yes.
Maybe I should.
Oh, no, you're a tech head, so no.
Yeah.
Stay on there.
But I honestly appreciate you coming on.
No worries.
Totally enjoyed this conversation.
So did I.
When you write it down and you come back to it a couple years later, we'll record again.
And I would have completed and achieved everything that I've written.
And I would have been talking to like a billionaire by then.
Right. Yeah, correct.
But yeah, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me on
the podcast. And goodbye.